You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
But let me just give you a thought here. In fact, this is going to sound kind of crazy, but not impossible. I mean, actually could actually have happened. So let's just imagine that since the day I was born, that somebody, or the day you were born, but I'll just use me for an example. So the day I was born, let's just say that somebody followed me around with a video camera. Now, obviously, if you're under 30, we call that a phone today, right? But if you follow me around with a video camera and you just recorded everything I did and you just recorded every place I go. And then if we were to take all that footage and we were to just pull out little clips. Now, those clips would be called reels. That was the title. Did y'all catch that? Because I mean, this is not complicated. What we do here is pretty simple. And so this would be called reels. And so what would happen is that we would take these little clips, and you know what you could do is that you could determine by looking at those different clips, you could determine a lot about the priorities of my life, couldn't you? Come on, am I right? In fact, if we pulled out all these little different snippets of places that I've been, people I've been with, things that I've done, is it wouldn't take you very many of those to be able to say, this is what's important to him and this is not important to him. Because all of those different little video clips is that they would demonstrate for you one thing that is very, very important in all of our lives. And it is what we call, this is what we're going to talk about today. It is called the concept of belonging. The concept of belonging. Say that word with me. What? Belonging, belonging, belonging. It's a big word. It's a simple word, but it's a big word. It's big for your life. Because here's what I can tell you. Listen to me. This is important. Don't miss this. Is that the direction of your life is going to have a lot to do with the things that you belong to in life. I'm not kidding you. That's a fact. The direction of your life is going to have a lot to do with the people and the places you belong to in life. So I got to thinking about this, and I thought, So what about my life? What about me personally? What are some of the things that I belong to? Because here's what I can tell you. So even since I was just a kid, even the things that I belong to have actually shaped who I am to this day. I mean, even 45 years later, it's amazing the difference it's made in my life. That's just wishful thinking, isn't it, man? So I was trying to think of, I thought, so what was the very first thing I ever belonged to? And some of y'all would know, probably a thing called cradle roll, but most of you don't even know what that is. But the very first thing I ever belonged to, I think, was a peewee baseball team at a place called Mark Trail Recreation Park. Anybody ever heard of Mark Trail Recreation Park in DeKalb County? That's what I thought. Nobody has. You know what I mean? Probably doesn't even exist today. I don't know. I played for the Peewee Falcons. Peewee Falcons. You're thinking, Falcons are football. Well, not at Mark Trail. They were baseball, right? Now, you say, well, what did you learn there? Oh, my gosh. I learned so many things on that very first team. In fact, one of the things I learned best is that you can catch a ball better if it's on your hand than if it's on the top of your head. Let me tell you that. And you say, did you do that? Yeah, I did. I was like 5 years old at the time. I remember the second thing. I think it was the second thing that I joined. So if that was the first thing I joined, the second, well, it was probably the weirdest thing I've ever joined. I joined this thing called the Y Indian Guides. Nobody, has anybody ever heard of Y Indian Guides? Nobody ever has, right? You have? Really? Wow. So the Y Indian Guides, I think it was through the YMCA. It was actually a kind of a cool idea, but it was a little bit weird. So it was a father and son thing. And so me and my dad, we went to this little meeting together. And here was the weird thing. Y Indian, we dressed up like Indians. That was weird. And we had Indian names. So my dad was like Big Bear. And I think I was like Little Skunk or something like that. I don't know. No, I'm just messing with you. But anyway, so here you say, well, what did you learn from there? I've learned that medication doesn't solve everything because I'm still taking medication for that, man. And so therapy doesn't solve everything. I'm still messed up. I remember maybe the next thing that I joined was probably, I would definitely say it was one of the most memorable things. I actually had a chance to be a part of what we call the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at our high school. I've shared some of that with y'all before. Let me just tell you, it's changed my life. I learned this much, revival can still happen on a ball field, can't it? And revival can happen in high school. How many of you know our high schoolers have a huge impact on the world today, don't they, man? They really do. I learned that. But then the next organization or the next group that I was a part of, it wasn't even a structured group. It wasn't even an official group. It was a Bible study in the dorm that I was at a place called Troy State University. Now, I was only there for a quarter. Does anybody remember when school was in quarters? Anybody remember that? Okay. Yeah, a few of you that are my age, right? So we used to have school in quarters, and so I went to Troy State for a little while, and I met up with a group of guys in a dorm Bible study that I promise you has a lot to do with what I'm doing right here, right now, in this room right now, is that God showed up in my life during that Bible study, and I'm just tell you, is that if you put all of these different organizations, because there's a lot more that I could give you, I can't even tell you all the different groups, all the different teams, all the different classes, all the different organizations that I've been in part of. But I can tell you this for a fact, that all of those organizations have created the person that you see here on the stage today. I am the sum total of all of the influences of the groups and the teams and the classes and the clubs that have been a part of my life, and I've been a part of them. Now, here's what I want you to realize, is that I've just shared with you about four things out of my life. But what's true about my life, how many of you know they are also true about your life, aren't they? Because you know what would be true about everybody in this room right here? Is that everybody has a first group that you've been a part of. Everybody has a weird group that you've been a part of. Everybody has a more memorable group that you've been a part of, a life-changing group. Everybody here, because we are the result of all of the places that we have belonged. I hope you know right now, this is why I have chosen to talk about this subject for the very first sermon of a brand new year, because here's what I can promise you, is that where you're going to end up at the end of the year has a lot to do with the places that you begin to belong at the beginning of this year. Man, I need a big amen right there. That's working. We're working on it. So I'm going to begin this new series, and it's built on this whole idea. It's really kind of an interesting idea. It's on this idea of, well, we're just calling it reels. And basically what we're saying is this, is that, and some of you are here and you're thinking, I don't even know what a reel is. If you don't know what a reel is, that means that you've not been on social media. And if you're not on social media, you're better off than the rest of us. So you're free to be dismissed. No, I'm just kidding. So you're better off, trust me. But if you don't know what a reel is, basically this is it. Is it a reel? It's a really short video clip that you'll actually see on different types of sites and social media. And basically a person posts a reel of something or someone or some place in their life that is important to them. And so people do this all the time. But what I hope is true about our crowd here today is this, is that what I hope is that as we begin a brand new year together, I'm hoping that the most important thing to you is that you become more like Christ in this coming year. That's what I'm really praying for. In fact, can I just tell you this? Is that if you're starting the new year wanting to become more like Christ than you were at the end of the last year, let me tell you something. The future looks really, really good for you. Man, it does. So I want to just try to help you get there. So basically what we're going to do is simply this. In fact, I'm just going to kind of net it out for you so that you know where we're going. I'm basically asking this question. I'm trying to take really a very powerful, theological concept and put it in a modern day context. And I'm just going to ask you this. If we were to look at the videotape of your life and we were to look at the videotape of Christ's life, is it how much of those two tapes would be lining up with each other? Can everybody relate to what I'm talking about right here? I mean, I don't know, man, but I'm just going to tell you, I know for me that if you were to take a video footage of my life and you were to play my life on that screen and play Christ's life on that, that would be called Chosen, by the way. And if you were to play the two, here's what, I hope you would say, oh my gosh, that's there, and that was there, and that was in Ken, and that was in Christ. And guess what I'm telling you? If the more those two line up, the better the direction of my life is going in. And when those two don't line up, guess what? That one needs to change. That was mine. That one needs to change. So that's what we're going to kind of hang out here today. So let's just take a look. We're going to be in the Gospels. We're starting today in the book of Mark. We're going to be in a lot of different Gospels in the next couple weeks, because here's what we have. You say, well, how do we, don't have video footage of Jesus. Yeah, we do. It's not video, but we actually have it recorded in what we call the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So this is not a far-fetched idea. This is not something where we're just going to say, well, if we just could imagine this. No. This is not something we got to create. This is something that already has been given to us. And so you have right there, hopefully you have it in your hands, either on your phone or your tablet, or you have it in your Bible. Hopefully you have a copy of the life of Christ, because here's what I know, is that when we study the life of Christ, we always end up going in the right direction. Amen? So what I want to ask you today is this. If we were to go back and look at Jesus's life, what does belonging, you know, what does belonging look like for Jesus? I don't know if you realize this or not, but Jesus belonged, and he wanted his followers to belong. Belonging is a big part of what it means to be a believer. And so the question that would serve all of us well is to ask ourselves this question: what does belonging look like in the eyes of Jesus? Now, you have an outline, so go ahead and pull it out. Maybe you already have. And let me encourage you to take a few notes here, because here's what I can tell you is going to happen today, is that this many people here, there's a lot of you who are saying, you know what, Ken, I think I'm in a pretty good place because everything you talked about is true for me. Guess what? If that is you, you just give God praise for that today, okay? But if you look at one of those and you go, you know what? I think that's missing in my life. Then here's what I would encourage you to do. I would just go ahead and challenge you to have the courage to do something different. Because if you're just going to do the same thing at the beginning or at the end of this year that you're doing this year, I can just tell you this. Don't expect your life to be very different than it is right now. But if you're saying, hey, I want it to be different, I want it to be better, I want it to be what God wants it to be, I want it to look more like Christ's life, then this is what it's going to look like. First thing we notice is this. When we look at the Gospels of Christ, the first thing we notice is that this idea of belonging, it's very simple, but it's very powerful. It always began personally. It always began personally. You say, well, what do you mean by that? So what I'm saying here is this, and this is huge. A lot of people would think that because we're using the word belonging, is that they would think it would mean other people. It doesn't start with other people. It actually starts individually. Because here's what I can tell you, is that anytime you choose to belong to something, it has to be a decision that you do because you want to, not because you have to. Do you know there are a lot of people that have given up on church and have given up on spiritual influence in their life because there was a point in their life where they came to church not because they chose to, but because somebody made them? And when that happens, it usually doesn't work out very long, and it usually doesn't last very long, and they just go, you know what, I'm done with that. But let me just tell you, is that when it is a choice that you make to belong to community or to belong to an organization, to a church, let me tell you something. When that is a choice that you have made personally, you're headed in the right direction. The Gospels give us a great example of this. In Mark chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, we see this little story, actually kind of a clip, if you will, a reel, of a guy named Levi. We also know him as Matthew. And listen to what it says here. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. As I read this, try to visualize it in your mind. So don't just read it, sort of see it, if you will. And it says this, and he went out again beside the sea, and this is Jesus, and a crowd was coming to him. So picture this in your mind, is that Jesus is out here by the Sea of Galilee, And there's this crowd of people that are coming to him, and he's teaching them. And then when he passed by, he saw this guy. His name was Levi, son of Alphaeus, which also we know his name was Matthew. And he was sitting at where was he at? He was at a tax booth. He was a tax collector. And he said to him, and this is the key phrase, he says, "Follow me." And he arose and he what? And he followed him. And you say, well, what's happening right here? So this is actually, if you said, what is this? So this is where Matthew, who becomes one of the disciples that changes the world, this is where he becomes a Christ follower. This is the moment in time where his decision to follow Christ becomes a personal commitment that he made, where he says, I'm going to choose to walk away from where I am, and I'm going to walk in this path, and I'm going to walk with him. You could literally say this, if you wanted to use this term, you could say, is that this is when he really became a Christian in his life. Now, here's what's really interesting about this, and I hope you understand. So first of all, you say, well, what do we know about Matthew? What do we know about Levi? Well, we know that he was a tax collector, which means what? Is that he wasn't on anybody's good list, right? In fact, tax collectors were Jewish people that were working for who? For the Romans. That's the IRS in our day, right? And so he's working for somebody. Nobody wants to be here. And the problem was, is that they were considered traitors by the Jewish people. They were despised by their own people because they weren't just working for the Romans. They were also skimming off the top for themselves. And so the fact, this is incredible, and this ought to speak to so many people today. The fact that he was called by God, that Jesus called him to follow him, it just lets us know, first of all, is that he certainly wasn't good enough. In fact, he was a criminal. He didn't earn it because he'd been stealing. He wasn't born that way. He started out another way. So here's what happened, is that he came to a point in his life where he had a need that wasn't being met. Can I tell you this? If everybody around you despises you and thinks you're a traitor, how many of you know that puts an empty feeling inside your life? You know what? Some of you today think, man, it's not working, man. The world is just keeping me empty. He started with a need. You talk about a seeker. He was legit. You know what also he did? He followed. And he didn't have it all figured out. You know what's interesting to me? He knew who Jesus was, and he knew that Jesus had something to offer, but he didn't have every single thing figured out before he took a step of faith. And then the last thing is that he walked away from something in order to be able to follow him. My question to you would be this. If you look at your video and you look at Christ's video, is there a time in your life where you had a Levi moment? You know, there are some of you who will say, well, I grew up in church. And my mom and daddy, man, they love Jesus. My mama played the organ. My daddy was a deacon. You don't get no more church than that, man. But that don't get you to heaven. I'm just going to ask you, man, if your video archive, is missing that clip, don't leave here until you nail that down in your life. A second thing we see that belonging meant was that belonging also meant belonging was all, it began personally, but it was demonstrated publicly. Oh my gosh. So a lot of you guys understand this already, you know this, but some of you don't. But can I just tell you, listen, this is a part of God's plan for his people, that belonging, being a part of Christianity, being a part of the movement of Christ. So it started as a personal decision, but it wasn't meant to stay personal. It wasn't meant to stay inwardly. It was meant to be expressed how? Outwardly. And so this is where we have the concept in scripture called baptism. And this is crazy because Jesus was baptized, and we see this in Mark. We see it in Mark chapter 1, verses 9-11. Let's read it together, and then we can kind of unpack it. This is. It says, and in those days is that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and he was baptized. He was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and a spirit descending on him like a dove. It wasn't a dove, but it was like a dove. And he heard a voice from heaven and said, "You are my beloved son with whom I am." Say it with me, what? Oh my gosh. Let's just time out here for a minute. If Jesus got baptized and he never needed to be baptized and God was pleased with that, when you get baptized, God is what? That's the videotape you want in your life. We're going to have baptism today. We're going to have a couple of people get baptized here today. And this is going to be, you know what? This is going to be an act of obedience. Can I just tell you this? Baptism has never, ever saved anybody. In fact, think about what we just read here. Is that Jesus went from Nazareth to the Jordan to be baptized. So how many of you know that Jesus was not lost? I mean, let me tell you something. When you're God in the flesh, guess what? You're not. You're not lost. Jesus didn't have to be baptized. You say, well, why did he do it? Jesus got baptized as a what? As an example. He got baptized as a model, as an example for me and you to get baptized. Also notice this. Jesus, don't get mad at me. This is just true. It's right here in the text. Jesus wasn't a child. He wasn't an infant. And I know that's a big tradition for a lot of people. And I understand that. And if that's the way you were raised, that's okay. But guess what? Is it now that you've learned what the biblical example is, don't let the way you've been raised change the way you believe today. Amen. Listen, I understand that there are a lot of people that maybe they didn't really understand what it meant to be a Christian. But once you meant, I hope you became one. I hope you made that decision. And once you discover that baptism is an outward sign of obedience, it happens after. Jesus was 30 years old when he got baptized. So once you come to that realization, man, don't let anything in your tradition keep you. Don't let anything, you know, inhibit you from following God's word. Notice also, it says this. It says that he came from Nazareth to Galilee. And he got baptized into Jordan. That tells us what? Is that he was looking for some water, wasn't he? Because he got baptized by what? He could have, hey, they could have poured water on him in Nazareth. But he went there so he could be what? So that he could be immersed. It's important. You know, here's what I can tell you. Is that when you look back in your life, That little reel, that little clip of your baptism, I remember mine. I don't remember much about it. I remember we had this cool little baptistry back in the church here with like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane over it, man. It was cool. Stained glass, man, you know. But you know what really mattered? Is that God said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." We've been doing end of the year stuff at our house. You know what that means? Cleaning. We've been cleaning. Man, can I just tell you, we got more junk than we know what. I mean, we got junk. But you know what we have? We have a box. We have a box of videos. And these videos are filled with images of our lives. I mean, this is crazy. We've got birthdays. We've got ball. We've got touchdowns and home runs. We've got weddings. We got our own wedding or whatever. We got weddings. We got graduations. We got all this stuff on these. I can show you my whole life on all these videos. There's only one problem. I got nothing to play them on. This is weird to me. I'm like, where did all the video players go? I think they're the same place where all the phone booths are. I mean, have you ever thought about that? There must be a payphone junkyard somewhere on the moon. I don't know. You can't find them anywhere. But you know what? Nobody in this room has ever seen my baptism but two people. Me and God, in whom he is well pleased. When Jesus looked at belonging, He saw it as something that started personally. It didn't start publicly. He saw it as something that was expressed outwardly. He saw it, oh my gosh, please hear me here, man. It included other people. It included other people. Now that's where a lot of you would have thought I would have started this message. In fact, a lot of you would have thought, well, you know what? If you're going to talk about belonging, wouldn't you start with another group, another crew, a team? I mean, isn't that where you would start? No, you don't start there because that's not where Jesus started. But you do have to get there. You see, because this is what Jesus did. Check this out. In Mark chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Now, you guys know this. We preach this a lot because this is where Jesus called the 12. This is where he called his disciples. But I want to make sure you understand the context for where he called them, because it'll say this, and he went up on a mountain and he called to them those he desired, and they came to him. And then out of that group, he did what? He appointed what? So here it is. You know, you knew this was coming sooner or later, didn't you? Is that he started with a large group in order to call out a what? That was good. That was good. And some of you say, oh no, not again. Yeah, again. You know why? Because I know what life does to you. Can I tell you this? Here's what I know. Some of the people in this room, man, they can stand up in the stage and tell you better than I can. You have no idea what's going to happen to you in the next 12 months of your life. And God has created a support system for your life. It's called the church. Man, if I could put this in a pill and give it to you, I would. I so would. But here's what I can tell you. For some of you in this room, man, we could roll the tape forward. You're going to say, I had no idea this was going to happen to me this year. And when you do, the question is, are the places and the people that you belong to, are they going to be there for you when that happens? Because here's what I'm going to tell you. God has created a plan for it to work. You say, what kind of plan? So we just saw it in that verse, a very familiar verse for us, but we just saw it there. So here's the deal. So God's created others. He created this thing called community. Community happens two ways. It happens in a large group and it happens in a small group. You say, why is that? Because there are some things that just go better in a large group, and there are some things that just go better in a small group. So, this room right here, night of worship, guess what? Is it, listen, we could do night of worship at your community group. It won't be near as good as it will be here tonight. You know why? Because they sing better than you do. They play better than you do. But guess what? Tonight would not be the time for everybody to share what's going on in their lives. You know why? We want to go home. It won't work. Guys, listen to me. God has created this idea of the church the way he didn't just create it. He doesn't need us to meet that way. He created it because we need to meet that way. You know, this is going to be crazy for me to say it, but you know what's changed law enforcement? Half of Coweta County sitting right here. So this is going to like, you don't know what you're talking about. You know what's changed law enforcement? Video surveillance. Is that right, Sheriff? Video surveillance. You know why? Because I watch crime shows. I watch them. I watch the news once in a while. So you know what they do? So the first thing, when somebody's committed a crime, guess what they do? They look for all the cameras in the area. Am I right, man? They look for all the cameras in the area. Why? Because they're looking for evidence of where you've been. Guys, hear me. Love me. Love me anyway. When we get to the end of 2026 and we look at the video surveillance of your life, will you be found guilty? Will you be found guilty of being in a large group and being in a small group? And some of you say, man, you just keep on talking about it. Yeah, I do. I do. I'm guilty. And if you found out I wasn't in a small group, you'd be hot, wouldn't you? I don't blame you. But I would also be stupid if I wasn't in a small group. Man, there's some people in this room right here. I tell you, man, that just never gets old. There's a lot of things in church that sometimes get old, but let me tell you, when you get a good band of brothers in your life or sisters in your life and you're doing life together, let me tell you, that's where life is at its best, man. Finally, let's just finish with this. So you say, well, what does belonging mean to Jesus? So again, let's go back 2,000 years. When Jesus talked about belonging, he saw it starting individually. It was because you wanted to, because you said, I want to be a Christ follower. I'm going to turn away. I'm going to leave my tax booth, man. I'm going to have that Levi moment. I'm going to follow you. And then it becomes that point where you say, I want the whole world to know. Put me into baptism. I want everybody to know. I'm not perfect, but I have been delivered. And then you get yourself in community and you plant yourself in community and you say, I'm not there every time, but I'm there more than I'm not. I'm in large group more than I'm not. I'm in small group more than I'm not. I'm telling you, you have just put a support system in your life that's going to be there for you in a way that you never imagined because you can never predict what's coming your way. You never can. And the last thing, when Jesus saw community, when he saw belonging, he saw it being done for a purpose. Some of you are going to get mad at me here, but I'm going to go there anyway. You got to understand, when Jesus created this concept of belonging, he did it because he had a greater mission in mind. He had a purpose. You say, what do you mean by that? So can I just tell you this? Please hear me. Listen to me. Jesus did not create community for the sake of community. But guess what we've done? We have turned it into that. You say, what do you mean we've turned it into that? So what we've done, and so I'm not saying everybody, and certainly we try not to do it here, but I see it here, I hear it here. Some people, what they do sometimes is that they want to turn the large group into a little Christian club where it's like, we like it like this. We got just the right number of people coming because we don't want to lose our seat. We don't want to have to park on another place. We don't want to go to another campus. Are you kidding me? We like it like this because this makes us comfortable. It is not about your comfort, for goodness sakes. Some people, I told you, love me anyway. Some people want to make their small group a little holy huddle. And they say, man, here comes Pastor Ken. He's going to want us to birth. He's going to want us to launch. Yeah, I am. If you're at that point. Why? Because somebody else needs what you have. And only so many people. I mean, you can't have a 45-member small group. You do understand the concept there. It's the word small. Mark chapter 1, verse 17. And Jesus said to them, follow me. What does follow me? Belonging. Follow me, and I will make you to become what? What is that? Purpose. Mission. Guys, look, please hear me. From the moment the church was conceived in the mind of God, it was always to be about reaching the world for Christ. It was never for us to turn it into what we wanted it to be. It was never about that. It's never ever supposed to be about that. I don't want to get, I don't want to I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to offend you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Well, if I offend you, it's okay. But anyway, if you call yourself a follower, but you don't care anything about fishing, you don't know what it means to be a follower. If you call yourself a Christian, but you say, I don't want to have anything to do with the church, you don't know what it means to be a Christian yet. I remember years ago, our church just got started. I mean, we're in year numero uno. We're in the first year. And I remember the first year we started as a church, this is where this concept first got tested in my life. I was a brand new pastor, just came out of seminary. I didn't know. We had a small group of people. We were meeting in White Oak Elementary School. I mean, we could put them all right here in about three rows right here. This is all we had. So I didn't want to lose anybody, right? I mean, it's like, I need you here, man. Don't leave. This lady stops by my office. I had an office up here. It's gone. It's where it now. Well, it's been so many different things, but anyway, it's gone. And so I was in this office up here. This lady walks in. She said, Pastor Ken, I just want to let you know. So we're going to leave the church. I said, why? She said, because we, you know what? We just don't believe in the vision of the church. I was like, what do you mean you don't believe in the vision? We're just doing it the way Jesus did. Why can you say you don't believe in it? So we love you. You're a great pastor. We love you. We like listening to you. But you know what? Is it we don't like the vision of the church. Can I just tell you something? We weren't doing anything different then than we are now. Now we're doing it at a different scale. We had an overhead projector back then. We didn't have any screens. We didn't have a nice building. We didn't have nothing. This is what I remember. I remember that my leadership was going to be questioned. We're going to be challenged. Would I do what was popular to keep people? Or would I follow the purpose of what God put us here to do? I got to tell you something. That ain't the only time that's been challenged. It's been happening for 36 years. My question to you is this. In 2026, is your commitment to the church of Jesus Christ, which is his chosen vessel, his chosen vehicle, is your commitment going to be casual or is it going to be serious? Is it going to cost you something in your time and your energy? Listen, if you're just sitting in a brown chair in a year from now, and you're not any more committed to it than you were today, then your video clip looks very differently than Christ's video clip. It just does. And I don't say that to be heavy. I say that because honestly, I care. I say that because I care. Because I know what's going to happen in life. And I know where you're going to end up. And I want you to be in the best place possible. You know, there's probably 90% of the pastors in the world today are preaching messages on how to make your new year better. I'm not really trying to help you figure out how to make your new year better. I'm preaching a message to try to help you become more like Jesus than you ever have been. And I don't think you can go wrong with that. And quite honestly, I'm banking on it myself. That if I become more like Jesus this year than I did last year, can I just tell you something? 2026, whatever may come my way, it's going to take care of itself. So why don't we just bow our heads and close our eyes for a minute? And if you're here today and you say, man, Ken, that's where I'm at, man. I've got to take a step. Well, let me ask you to do something today. It's going to be kind of a bold move, but I'm going to ask you to do it anyway. I want to pray for you because the problem will be, the challenge will be what you feel in your heart right now and what the Holy Spirit is saying and what happens after you leave this room. So in order to nail that down and in order to just make a statement of your commitment and dedication, I'm just going to ask you, if you need to take a step on any of the things we talked about, would you just take a stand right where you are right now? Just stand up. You're not going to have to come forward. You're not going to have to say anything or sign anything. This is just between you and God. But I just want to ask you to stand right where you are. Is there a step you need to take? And jump up on your feet right now. God sees you. God knows you. And God is honored by your step today. That's awesome. That is awesome. Praise God. Praise God. That's great, brother. That is so good. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for the men and women in this room that decided to take a stand today to just demonstrate that they really want to do what you call them to do, to be who you want them to be. Thank you that they were willing to just profess that today. And I pray that you would do what only you could do, God, and that through the power of the Holy Spirit in their life, that God, you would transform them, that you would change them, that you would fill them, that you would empower them. Because God, I know that the enemy's going to be working overtime to try to stop them. And so, Father, we just seek you today. We ask you to be in us what we can't be on our own, to do in us what we can't do in our own strength. God, have your power, have your will, have your way here in this place. And God, I want to pray your hand. I want to ask your hand and your blessing to be upon each and every man and woman standing in any of our campuses here today. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give God praise today.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Ken Adams. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Ken's teaching ministry by visiting crossroadsonline.org.